good morning. We are here to, it is 9:02 a.m. We're here today, April 17, 2018, in the OPA hearing room, suite 907 of the DNA building in Acanya, Guam, for the motion hearing of OPA PA 18-002 Corando Corporation versus the Department of Public Works. Presiding over the hearing today are Hearing Officer Anthony Camacho and Public Auditor Doris Flores Brooks. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Yukai Chanova and Firsa Bagana. Will appellant, Corando Corporation, please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Morning, Leslie Travis and Joyce Tang on behalf of Corando Corporation. Also present today are corporate representatives Byung-Ho Kim, Kiwa Khan, and Jack Kim.
Thank you.
Will purchasing agency, the Department of Public Works, please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Yeah, Assistant Attorney General Tom Keeler, also present as the Director of the Department of Public Works.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And we may proceed.
Ms. Tang, who are the representatives that you have? I'm sorry, you said it so quickly, Ms. Travis.
I apologize. Byung-Ho Kim.
Okay.
And his position?
He's the president of Corando. Kiwa Khan, who is the engineer, who was present during previous hearings as well.
How do you spell his name?
K-I-W-O-O-K. Last name Han, H-A-N.
And
Jack Kim. Oh, I'm sorry. He's an engineer with Corando Corporation.
All right.
And he's appeared previously as the corporate representative.
Okay. And the third person?
Is Jack Kim.
The one in glasses?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Related to Mr. Kim?
Yes.
You're the son.
Well,
okay.
He's an employee of Corando, not
but
just
he's
the
also
son.
But he's also the son. Okay.
What's his position with Corando?
Executive Administrator.
Thank you, Mr. Kim. Sorry,
and
I'm just trying to...
Mr. Han is the project engineer.
All right.
Thank you.
So the first order of business is, or before we get into that, the order of march today, I should say, is we're going to discuss the motion hearing first, okay? And then we're going to follow that with a scheduling conference because you all received the, without opposition, we approved Corando's motion to continue the formal hearing that was scheduled on the 23rd. We vacated all the dates associated therewith.
And anyway, we're all going to be off island, so we'd have to change it anyway, as we're all leaving this week. So it would have had to have been vacated anyway.
In any event, we'll take up the scheduling after we go through the motion hearing. So this is Corando's... motion to compel, extend the time to file comments to the agency report and other dates, and for sanctions. So, Ms. Travis, Ms. Tang, you have the floor.
Thank you. Before we actually proceed with the motion to compel, we did have, I know that on Friday we filed a request to continue today's hearing. I just wanted to kind of explain on the record what the purpose behind that request was. I understand that you denied it.
That's correct.
I just want to make
sure
that... I believe
we got that request. Was it three-ish? After three, it was close to three-ish.
So, for purposes of filing our reply brief to in support of our motion to compel in this matter, after DPW filed their opposition along with their declarations, Corando retained conflicts counsel. We don't believe that a conflict actually exists at this time. However, our firm, Seville and Tang, also represents PTG in a separate matter. That is not related to this case at all. However, the entry of...
That's Parsons...
Transportation
Group, okay. Keep
Parsons
going.
Transportation yep. Group. And so our concern was, although conflict doesn't exist at this time, once documents are produced, conflict may actually arise, and we wanted to start separating, we wanted to hire conflicts counsel to start participating in this case in the event that a conflict does arise, which is why Bill Fitzgerald entered his appearance for the purpose of filing that reply brief to the in support of the motion to compel. You'll note that the motion to compel was actually filed by our office. At that point in time, Parsons Transportation Group, although a participant certainly in the procurement matter, was not in an adverse position. We don't believe them to be in an adverse position now. However, because the declaration was filed by Parsons Transportation Group, Carando thought that in an overabundance of caution, that we would hire a conflicts counsel at that time, which is why we requested.
Now, Mr. Fitzgerald, your counsel, he's in Saipan?
He's actually testifying as a witness in a matter in Seoul, Korea.
In Seoul, Korea, okay.
And he was at the time that we received the notice of this hearing.
I did verify he's a member of the Guam Bar.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's fine. But I think he's physically, based on his, at least what I saw, just when I was verifying that in Saipan, is that correct?
He's that's correct.
Still physically there. Okay. So, in any event, we will proceed with the motion.
Okay.
If I could have one comment.
Yes.
Okay.
You don't need to stand. You can sit.
Okay. We concurred with the motion to continue. The materials were actually produced. For whatever reason, Carando was not able to navigate the disks, etc. But I've got here disks that talk about all of the drafts for the claims and communications with regards to the emails. Parsons told me at 8:30 this morning that they plan on cutting the disks today. Now, this is just disks that they're providing so Carando can understand. These materials were already provided. They're in.
So this is, okay, just trying to understand. This is not additional material?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, so you're saying that these have already been provided?
Yes.
Okay.
The only thing that will be in addition is an explanation as to how to navigate the disks that were provided.
But the way I understand it, based on the pleadings, this issue of whether or not you produced everything has not been resolved between the parties, is that correct, despite the additional stuff you're providing?
Correct. And,
okay.
You know, and I was never contacted before the filing of the motion. I was never provided an opportunity to communicate and try to get it resolved.
Okay, but understand that the rules of civil procedure, to include those that require a meet and confer, they don't really apply to these proceedings. Okay.
I would also note that the opposition doesn't say that they were provided. The opposition say that they don't exist.
All right. Well, we're not arguing the motion yet. Okay.
Just on the note that Mr. Keeler raised with regard to the 24,000 pages that they provided Carando with, they're stating now that these emails do in fact exist, we just needed to dig for them. If that is true, that is diametrically opposite to what they stated in their opposition.
Well,
to
we'll let it. You address that in a little bit here. So just for the record, the motion by Carando to continue this morning's motion hearing is denied. Okay, and we will proceed. And once again, Ms. Tang, and Ms. Travis, you have the floor for your motion.
All right. Thank you. I would like to refer you to our trial exhibit list. It was filed on April 9, 2018. If you look at the exhibit list, there are items that have been highlighted in red. Exhibit number 3, exhibit number 4, exhibit number 6, exhibit number 7, exhibit number 8, exhibit number 12, exhibit number 13, exhibit number 14, exhibit number 15, 17, 18, 19. All of these exhibits are email communications that we obtained from a Freedom of Information Act request. A Freedom of Information Act request to Federal Highway for Shelter Carers email files. These were produced after we paid $1,000 to the Federal Highway. And none of these emails, and we were prepared to submit this under oath, they were never prepared, never given to us by DPW. There are additional communications that relate to these emails, because these are just emails to Rochelle Takara. They would have spurred other communications within DPW. We didn't get those. We know that because we reviewed 24,000 pages, not just ourselves, but the client as well. And to say that, oh, we don't know how to look at the files, That is completely incorrect. I personally downloaded the files from DPW, converted it from Outlook into an Outlook file so I could search it. None of these documents exist, and they relate specifically to the issue of in this appeal, which is the denial of our change orders and the reasons behind it. None of these emails are, it wasn't just coincidental. There was a systematic, there was a decision not to produce this. We have declarations from DPW in their opposition saying that there was a decision not to, there was a policy instituted to keep secret the reasons why they denied these the change orders. Look at the declarations submitted by DPW. They say that there is no record of any emails. They had only verbal discussions. That flies in the face of the open government law. How can this be transparent? How can this be government? This is not a private entity where you tell, what is this policy about having these conversations and not producing records of these decisions? Because they may one day be required to talk about them, produce them in a form such as the public auditor, before the public auditor. That is exactly what they say in their declaration, DPW's declaration. We are entitled to these documents. They violated the procurement law, they violated the open government law, and they certainly violated the Sunshine Act. We are not here because we have nothing else to do. Our client spent a ton of money asking us, having to review 24,000 documents. And they are not there, and we are prepared to submit an affidavit under oath confirming that all of those documents that I just referred to from our exhibit were never produced by TPW. We only got them from Federal Highway. That is the problem here.
Just for clarification, Ms. Tang, when you say Federal Highway, is that the Federal Highway Division in DPW,
no,
or is this Federal Highway directly?
We
or whoever
FOIA'd,
their representative is.
We FOIA'd Washington, D.C.
Okay,
so
thank
you're
you.
You're talking about the Federal Highway Administration.
That's correct.
Okay.
Through the D.C. process, through the federal agency process.
Yeah. Is there a local representative here on island?
The representative is based out of Hawaii, travels here periodically.
Okay.
Michelle Takar.
Okay. Okay.
And she is the one whose emails were combed through and from which emails were produced. We identified 31 emails from the Federal Highway production relating specifically to the issue in front of, in this appeal. Of the 31 emails, none of those were produced by DPW. There is no explanation why they didn't produce it. They have a declaration on file saying that they never had these email communications. Rather, they have instituted a policy of just having conversations and telephone calls. We don't have records of those meetings or those scheduled conversations. We don't have anything regarding those things. Those 31 emails and the related emails to those 31 emails from Federal Highway are relevant, and they need to be produced. And to come into before you today and blithely say, well, you know, they just don't know how to review this record, you know, that is simply false. That's unacceptable. They violated the Open Government Law, the Sunshine Act, and they've also violated
those
procurement
arguments.
Law.
Do you have anything else, Ms. Fenn?
No, not at this point. But
okay. Now,
I will add two things.
Well,
so,
before you do that, just for clarification, when you mentioned your exhibit list,
yes.
Okay, and you state that these are the emails that you found from the Federal Highway Administration through your FOIA. What are those exhibits again? You said them so quickly.
No problem. They're highlighted in red, all in red in the exhibit list. So
okay.
I'm happy to list them again, but if you
no, that's
want
fine. So
a
all the red
referral.
No, you don't have to name them. So they're all the red ones on your exhibit list that you
that's
find.
Correct.
Okay.
They're highlighted specifically says Federal Highway FOIA February 27, 2018 production. That's the source. And we will submit after this hearing a declaration under oath that these documents were not produced in the 24,000 pages that we reviewed from DPW's production.
Right. How much did it cost your client to obtain?
Over $1,000, about $1,015 or something
now,
like that.
When you say $1,000, what are those fees for?
this FOIA search. That's what the federal agency charged us.
So this was the Federal Highway Administration's
right,
charge?
Right, so I paid directly to the Federal Highway Transportation FOIA department. And
okay, you say it's about $1,000?
Yeah, roughly a little over 1,000. I forget the exact amount.
And how long did it take the Federal Highway Administration to respond to your FOIA?
The request went out, my best recollection was maybe, was it January? I think it's around, I have the FOIA request.
It's around January this year.
Right. Okay. And then it was produced on February 28, 2018.
February the 18th?
27th.
27th, okay.
And it was emailed to us.
All right. Okay. And you had two more things you wanted to discuss.
We realize the resources, time is a resource, a very important resource for the public auditor and the agencies and we're not doing this so we could create more work for everyone. But really, I've never seen a circumstance where you have no record, only conversations over a year when they're reviewing our change order. No record of that, and all verbal. That's just shocking. So we would ask that, we've asked for our fees in relation to the motion for sanctions and recovery of the federal highway costs, which we're happy to submit our receipt for. We also ask that we have be allowed to take the deposition of at least the director to understand what this process, of course at a time that's convenient, how this process of keeping records and what decisions were made in connection with the records, how this change order was, because they claim there's no record. By his own declaration, there's no record of it. We are therefore allowed to ask him questions, I think, of what went into deciding the denying the change orders, what happened over the course of 1 year. And I think that would streamline the process. And I think that would send a strong message to the agencies not to do this in the future. Because I think that's what's required now. She just passed me a note. The FOIA request was made on January 26, 2018, and to the Federal Highway Transportation FOIA Department. And the response came in on February 27, 2018, production, if you will. The cost was $1,008. Thank you very much.
See what they respond to. Mr. Keeler, you have the floor.
Ed, as noted, the government was never notified or given an opportunity to comment before the motion to compel was produced. I have coordinated with Parsons Transportation Group. They have advised me that the materials were produced. They have already cut a disc just simply to provide to Carondo the materials with regards to the change orders. They're doing the emails right now. Ms. Tang says she can produce a declaration. I can have Parsons produce declarations that the documents were produced, when they were produced, and where they're located on the documents in the materials that were filed with the OPA.
Well, what is your position concerning the emails from the Federal Highway Administration that Ms. Tang points out in her exhibit list? Were those produced? Now, I take it, and I just glanced over it. I'm going to look at every one of these exhibits after this, but some of them do look like they are directed to DPW or members of the transportation group here. That's
correct, and I'm assuming those are produced. I'm assuming those are going to be on the CD that is produced today.
Today?
That is being given me today. I would like an opportunity to review it.
Okay, but is it your position still that you provided everything that DPW has or not?
Yes.
It is, okay. When do you think that you completed the production of the procurement record? Do you have a date?
I can't recall the exact date.
So I know you've supplemented the record a few times, is that right?
Yes. The procurement, you issued an order.
That's correct.
Procurement record was produced, I believe, by that date. We were not able to provide hard copies in a timely manner.
Uh-huh.
So for the final materials produced, they were produced on the disks.
Okay, but when do you think you produced the actual completed procurement record and provided that to Ms. Tang? Do you have a date for that?
It's my understanding these materials would have been produced in February.
So you say around February?
Yes. No, I would say in February.
In February. Have anything else to add?
Yes. This is a breach of contract appeal. It is not a procurement appeal. The authority cited with regards to the open government, the record of recording of meetings, etc., isn't applicable. The idea that the government has to record meetings where you have a variety of individuals discussing the pros and cons of a particular claim is just ridiculous. There's no such requirement for that. DPW produced a final result of its discussions, and that was the November 15th, 2017 letter to Mr. Kim. That's nearly 20, or approximately 20 pages, okay? In that letter, there were certain requests for additional materials so that a particular claim could be evaluated. Good faith is a two-way street. During this, Carando took 8 months to compile its claims, its initial claims. Normally, those type of claims would have been produced in a probably a 45-day period, something of that nature. You know, they complain about DPW's untimely response, but we would say they did the exact same thing. In addition to which, they didn't respond to the November 15th, 2017 letter. They didn't ask for a meeting.
We're not here to discuss the merits of the case or whether or not their allegations that their contract was wrongfully terminated was the correct decision. We're only here to determine whether or not, okay, there is merit to their motion to compel. That's what we're here for.
That's fine. And in their presentation.
Is there, Is there anything else you think that DPW might have that should be provided as part of the record of this matter?
No, again, I believe everything has been produced. I'm advised everything has been produced.
All right. Now, do you have any other arguments concerning that issue, their motion to compel? And their request for sanctions?
We don't think they're appropriate. The government has produced everything. We would like the opportunity to provide declarations explaining it. I do not understand. I'm a dinosaur. I don't understand how you can navigate or can't navigate particular documents. I would need the consultants in order to advise me of that.
Okay.
But I am advised that everything has been produced, so therefore, we think the motion is inappropriate and should be denied.
Well, I can't believe I'm here again for the second time. You know, it was just last, a few weeks ago, I went down to Mariso, and I thought I saw some people working on the two bridges, and it looked like one side of the bridge was already pretty much done. Correct me if I'm wrong, and I see, Glenn, you're nodding. And it looked like there was progress. Whether the progress was in time with the line, but there looked like there was progress. And just for clarification, Ms. Tang, is your client still continuing to do some work there? Because I did see some people there.
They're finishing up the project. I'm told that the project is due to be completed end of the month. Is that about right?
End of the month.
End of the month. The bridges will be completed.
Both bridges will be completed.
Yes, that is the timeline.
Okay. So again, you know, it's the people of Guam, the people who traverse that area all the time are the ones really suffering. And if there's one thing that I'd like to just really make a plea for is if you folks can come to the table to resolve this matter rather than take it to court and, you know, we all become losers at the end of the day. Additional costs are incurred. I just want this bridge to be completed. And if you terminate this contract, we're going to go through this whole thing of the surety bond, everything else, and cannot, you know, and then someone else is going to have to take it over. And maybe Ms. Tang, if you can just have your client to tell us now, if it's just really next month, you know, I mean, the people of Mariso as well as the people of going back and forth there would really just be happy just to get this resolved. Of course, I recognize afterwards it's going to be the cost. Who's going to pay for the cost? You know, but this just adds further to the delay, and I don't, you know, and why the trigger was pulled again. I would like to find out why the trigger was pulled again when there, like I said, there appears to be progress moving on. And if you folks can come and we have a stipulation, I really, you know, as opposed to going back and forth, sanctions here, sanctions there, and records given and records not given, you know, this is starting to sound like a broken record, Glenn. Not just for this appeal, Glenn, but for other appeals. Your system needs to be improved. And I'm just tired of the delays that are going on, you know, and we need to move on for the betterment of this government so that we have a viable bridge that people don't have to worry about crossing, you know, for fear of their lives. So if there's any way you folks can, despite whatever, pardon the expression, bad blood there might have happened, to come to an amicable resolution in some form or another.
Mr.
There is, the parties are cooperating, they're working together. There hasn't been a second termination of contract. This appeal deals solely with damages. So the parties are cooperating, the bridges are going to be completed.
Okay, but you...
This is a separate item.
No, you've already stated the whole purpose we're here is the termination of the contract.
It's... The reason why
because a notice of default has already
been to address Carando's claim for damages related to the stipulation that the parties signed in December of
2015.
So the project's moving forward. This doesn't have anything to do with that. This is purely for...
I'm mixed up then. I'm sorry. Yeah. I need a roadmap. Why? This has nothing to do.
Yeah, sorry for the confusion.
I will say, I agree with you 100% that the bridge needs to be finished. My client agrees the same thing. This change orders was in the ballpark of about $700,000.
Correct.
And despite not having gotten a cent on that from the commencement after the stipulation was signed, my client continued to execute and prosecute the work. So today, we're at the end of the project. 2 years later, almost over 2 years,
you're right,
we're trying to get some payment. So in response to your concerns, Carando is very supportive of the people of Agate and the people of the South, because we have continued the work and have not come back to you, even though we haven't gotten a cent, that we're entitled to some kind of a reasonable settlement on under the terms of the December stipulation.
Okay. Just to be clear, and I'm not saying this thing is correct, we are paying further progress for...
Well, we're not.
We're talking about is a stipulation.
Okay, but we're... Before we get too deep in the weeds of public auditors, merely expressing
frustration,
her wish that the project would just be done. Okay.
Yes, and that has not been an issue. We've been working. I won't speak for them, but for me, I don't see any issues. We've had delays. They've requested for delays that it be extended. We've deliberated on that. We've given them some delays, extended times. We paid their. I don't know if there's anything that we have, anything that's outstanding, because every payout that I got,
but anyway,
this is federal funds, right, Glenn?
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
Is it 100% federal funds?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I can see why the federal administration highway administration has to be involved, because they're the ones, pardon the expression, footing the bill.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. So.
In any event, did you have Mr. Keeler anything else to add?
No.
Okay. Ms. Tang?
I just respond on a couple of points, just focusing on the issue of the motion to compel. The issue really is there's got to be a clear record. We're not talking about procurement. They're required to have a record. This federal funds involved. And I'm going to read to you a paragraph from Mr. Leon Gross' declaration, paragraph 10. During the course of DPW, PTG, and Federal Highway, the FHWA's review and analysis of Carando's October 18, 2016 change order, January 24, 2017 corrected claim, and its October 17, 2017 change order, I do not recall having ever been provided a written analysis by PTG's John Moretta or anyone else. While Carando's three claims were thoroughly reviewed and discussed any number of times, it is my recollection that all such discussions took place in person or via telephone. I also don't recall making any written notes or memos during any of these meetings or telephone calls. That's pretty clear. And we have evidence, as demonstrated in our exhibit list, of all of those communications involving federal highway personnel, Rochelle Takara, and DPW folks, directly relating to these three documents that were not produced. The excuse their position's clear. We never had it. We prove it exists. Now they're saying, we gave it to you. What is the truth here? The bottom line is, records had to be kept. Federal law requires it. Guam law requires it. Not just procurement law. Open government law. And you have to produce it under the Sunshine Act. They're not exempt.
Yeah, we're not here for the Sunshine Act, though. Okay, but they are supposed to produce
under
a
procurement
record.
Right, that's right. And we have to have such a declaration in connection with a federal project, that's quite frightening, if I might say so. But Having said that, I will say that we are prepared to submit a declaration. They were never produced. I personally downloaded those emails on the disk, and it was a huge, it's not easy, but, you know, it was a huge, like, 20 meg file. And we converted it, we sorted it, and we searched for these emails. They do not exist. Mr. Keeler, as I understand it, testified or stated that he personally hasn't looked at it, but that he's relying on somebody else's statement, whoever that may be. But that, you know what? The bottom line is they're taking different positions. When they get caught, oh, well, we produced it. Before they got caught, it doesn't exist. What's the truth here?
Anything else?
No, thank you.
All right. I'm going to take this motion under advisement, okay, and issue a decision in writing. And the next topic we're going to discuss is schedule. And we are proposing that we hold a formal hearing on May the 24th at 9 a.m. We already have somebody say they cannot make it. Mr. Keeler?
I have a meeting with the National Highway Safety in Hawaii on the 23rd. So it's on that week.
All right.
How about the phone?
When will you be back?
It's just a week long. So.
So when will you be back on Guam?
Yeah.
I think the 26th is a holiday.
No, the 28th is
the
holiday.
Is all
the
I come back on the 25th.
So it would be the 29th.
All right. How about the 29th? May 29th at 9 a.m.
That would be a Monday.
That
Tuesday.
Would be a
okay, because Monday is a holiday.
Okay. Monday, May 29th,
2018.
Perfect.
All right. And how long, Ms. Tang, do you think that your case in chief is going to take? I think the original estimate before the documents were provided, before the first motions to compel were made, was about 3 days.
Yeah, I think that would still be the case, certainly, from my estimate, of course, subject to us receiving other documents. I think what could streamline the hearing is if you were to grant a request for the deposition of a witness, Mr. Leon Guerrero, because then we can narrow down the issues.
Well, I don't normally do that. Typically, he is going, if you're going to call him as a witness on the stand, that's your opportunity to do it.
I understand that.
Then, okay, this isn't a civil case before the Superior Court where there's a long, protracted period of discovery, so I'm not really inclined to grant that request at this point.
I understand. Thank you. We just asked that as one of the sanctions be allowed to take one deposition, and if you would consider that. I think it would also streamline the hearing. So I think at this point, we would say 3 days, three
All right.
full days.
And thank you, Ms. Tang. How many days, Mr. Keeler, do you think your case in chief will take?
2 to 3.
About 3 as well. So we're still looking at about a week. All right. Are we still expecting off-island witness testimony?
Yes.
Okay. Is that from DPW's witnesses?
Yes.
Okay. So you're going to be responsible for setting up whatever electronic devices you're going to. This is all we have. All right. So you're going to have to figure out, you know, what you take in and to get the... those witnesses' testimony via video, all right? Ms. Tang, do you have any off-island witnesses?
We were hoping for Rochelle Takara, but I think that's a long shot. We don't have any off-island witnesses on our side at this time.
All right.
If I may inquire as to the individuals who will be testifying
Who do you anticipate,
via
Mr. Keeler,
video?
From off-island?
two Parsons individuals. One would be Mike Lanning, the other would be John Moretto, both of which just relocated to the States.
All right. In any event, I'll let you, are you familiar, well, before we go there, Ms. Tang, are you familiar with those two witnesses?
Yes, I'm familiar with them. Thank
all
you.
Right. Thanks. All right. And are there any other issues? Okay, so we're going to basically schedule the May 29th hearing. I'm going to associate any associated dates. I'll submit a revised scheduling order.
Oh, great.
With that and a notice. With new deadlines. And the last item was the one that I believe you started with, Ms. Tang. So the
if I may
this
just
conflict of interest.
If I may move on, make one more point just before we move on. Just on the, we haven't submitted our comments to agency report, and thank you very much for allowing us to delay the submission. But if you would not mind giving us a date on that.
That'll be
ideally,
in the scheduling order.
I think, yes, if that, after, of course, we receive whatever additional submissions.
And plus
from
the government's rebuttal will be the two final pleadings that need to be done.
Right.
All right. All right. The final issue, I guess, was brought up by you, Ms. Tang, at the beginning. When you say you might have a conflict with Parsons, because apparently these two witnesses that you've just identified from off island, you say they're with Parsons?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, Mr. Lanning is still with Parsons. Mr. Moretto resigned last week.
All right. And you're still on your side, Ms. Van, trying to resolve the conflict issue?
We will. Out of an abundance of caution, as Ms. Travis mentioned, we had a retained conflict counsel for this particular hearing. But as we go forward, obviously, we will have a conflict, now that we have firm dates, if Mr. Fitzgerald is not available due to some other commitment, we will make sure that another conflict counsel is retained so that it doesn't
impose on the schedule. Okay, so you're saying that your firm might not be the one that actually
Just certain cross-examinations, just portions of it we might get walled off on, but we will proceed.
All right.
Yeah.
So either through you or Mr. Fitzgerald.
Yes, and if it's, I will, now that we have dates, I will provide those dates to him. If he is not available, I will make sure that we retain another conflict counsel that whose schedule will fit with the schedule that has been ordered.
All right. Because from where I sit, there's been a lot of delay thus far, and there's been a few reschedulings of the hearing already. I'm going to try very hard as hearing officer to move this case forward and literally hold you to that May 29th hearing date as much as possible. All right, so I'm not going to be, unless it's a dire emergency maybe, but I'm not necessarily inclined to immediately grant requests for continuances, okay, just on the history of this case already. And the fact that this hearing is supposed to be, just to remind the parties, an expedited hearing, okay? Beyond our usual timelines in this case.
Thank you for your attention.
So are there any other issues I need to pick up at this time?
And I just hope that maybe by the time we have this hearing, the bridge would have already been finished.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
We are off the record at 9:45.